As we gather on this fourth Sunday of Advent, our hearts arrive at the candle that brings the season all together, the candle of love. We stand in that sacred space between promise and fulfillment, listening again to the ancient words spoken to a fearful king and a weary people, words that dared to declare that God would not remain distant. Isaiah's prophecy of a child called Emmanuel began as a sign in a troubled time, yet it stretched across centuries to find its fullness in the birth of Jesus. In this moment of waiting, in this moment of wonder, we remember that the love God promised long ago is the love that comes near us today. In Isaiah 7, we step into a moment thick with fear. King Ahaz faces political pressure on every side, and his heart begins to tremble with that of his people. Into that anxiety, into that fear, God speaks not with condemnation, but with an invitation. Ask for a sign. God says, offering reassurance at vast as heaven and as deep as the unknown. But yet, Ahaz refuses, cloaking his fear in false piety. But God's love is not deterred by human reluctance. God gives a sign anyway. This is the first glimpse of truth, the first glimpse that Advent teaches us again and again. Divine love moves towards us, even when we cannot bring ourselves to reach back. The sign God offers is startling in its simplicity. A child, a small child, a young woman will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. In a word, and a world obsessed with power and military alliances, God chooses vulnerability. God chooses hope. The promise is not an escape from the world's troubles, but the assurance that God will be present within them. This child becomes the living reminder that God's love is not distant or just theoretical. It is embodied, it is near, and it is already unfolding, even when the world feels most uncertain. The sign of Emmanuel is not only about God's presence, it's about God's presence in a body. Isaiah's prophecy moves from the sweeping reassurance of divine nearness to the intimate detail of a child. A child that will grow, eat, learn, and choose, as Isaiah says, curds and honey. The prophet says, grounding this holy promise in the ordinary rhythm of our human life. This is not a symbolic gesture of a distant intervention. It is the declaration that God's love will take on skin and bone, entering the world not as a warrior, not as a king, but as a vulnerable infant who depends on others for nourishment and care. In this detail, he glimpses the astonishing humanity of what we call divine love. Shisuke Endo's novel called Silence offers a haunting and beautiful window into what it means for God to come near in the most vulnerable places. In 17th century Japan, Christians were haunted, they were tortured, and forced to renounce their faith by stepping on a carved image of Jesus called the Fumi. The Fumi was meant to break them, not just physically, but spiritually. It was a test of loyalty, of public humiliation, a moment designed to sever their connection to the one they loved. For the priest Rodriguez, the Fumi becomes the place of his deepest anguish. He stands over the image of Christ, torn between his faithfulness and his compassion, between his desire to remain strong and the unbearable suffering of others. In this moment of crisis, he imagines something extraordinary. Rodriguez hears the voice of Christ speaking from the very image he is just about ready to trample. The voice says, in essence, it was to be trampled on by men that I was born into this world. Christ does not speak in anger or disappointment. He speaks in solidarity. He identifies with the broken. He identifies with the shamed, the ones who cannot stand under the pressure and weight of this world. The Fumi, meant to be a symbol of betrayal, becomes, in Endo's hands, a symbol of reincarnation itself. God entering the places where human beings feel most fragile, most afraid, and most unworthy. This moment in silence echoes the heart of Isaiah's prophecy. The sign God gives is not a warrior, is not a king, but a child. One who will eat curds and honey, one who will grow and hunger and learn. A God who becomes fully human is a God who understands the trembling of our hearts. Endo's scene reminds us that the God who comes near Bethlehem is the same God who comes near here, in this very moment, in the moments of our weakness. The incarnation is not about God waiting for us to be strong. It is about God choosing to be with us when we are not strong. It is a love that comes near even when we falter, even when we fail, even when we cannot carry the weight of our own faith. This is the heart of the Advent mystery. The God who created galaxies chooses to inhabit a body that must be fed, that must be held, that must be clothed, and must be taught. The promised child will not float above the human experience, but live from the inside, just like us, feeling hunger, feeling fatigue, feeling joy, and feeling sorrow. The incarnation is God's way of saying, I will not love you from afar. In Jesus, the prophecy finds its fullness as love becomes flesh. Walking roads with us, sharing our burdens and revealing the holiness is not found in escaping humanity, but rather embracing it. This is the love that comes near, fully divine, fully human, and fully present. Isaiah's sign of Emmanuel is not an isolated promise. It is a part of a sweeping prophetic chorus that rises throughout Israel's story. Just two chapters later, Isaiah proclaims, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light," and speaks of a child who will bear names like Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace. This vision stretches beyond the immediate crisis of Ahaz's day towards a future in which God's reign of justice and compassion is embodied in a person. Early Christians heard these ancient words and recognized them in Jesus. The long-waiting light breaking into the world, the child whose birth signals God's decisive act of love. The prophets continue this thread with remarkable consistency. Micah foretells that a ruler will come from Bethlehem, whose origin is from old, and who will shepherd the people in the strength of the Lord. This small, unassuming town, hardly a place of power, becomes the stage of God's promising work. Jeremiah echoes the same hope when he promises a righteous branch from David's line who will execute justice and righteousness. This ancient voice speaking across centuries point toward a Messiah who will not simply restore a kingdom, but will restore hearts, communities, and creation itself. Even before these prophets, the Hebrew scripture hums with expectation. Zechariah envisions a humble king who comes riding on a donkey, bringing peace to the nation. The Psalms anticipate a son who will be God's anointed, a shepherd king who leads with compassion and truth. Together, these texts form a tapestry of longing, a people yearning for God to come close, to heal what is broken, to dwell among them. In Jesus, Christians see these ancient hopes fulfilled. The child born in Bethlehem, the light for those in darkness, the shepherd who gathers the lost, the love that comes near in flesh and blood. Advent's love is not merely just an idea. It's the heartbeat of God drawing close to humanity, to every generation. When we light that candle there of love, we remember that incarnation is God's bold declaration that love is not distant. Love is not abstract or conditional. In Jesus, God steps into the fulfillment of human life, choosing to walk roads with us, to touch the untouchable, to comfort the grieving, and to restore the broken. This is the love that Isaiah's prophecy anticipates, a love that does not wait for perfect circumstances or perfect people, but comes near in vulnerability and compassion. The birth of Jesus is the ultimate sign that God's love is not content to remain in heaven. It moves into our neighborhoods, our struggles, and our stories. A few years ago, a small neighborhood in a nearby town experienced a long stretch of hardship. Several families had lost jobs, an elderly couple was navigating serious illness, and a single mother down the street was working two jobs just to keep the lights on. People were doing their best, but the weight of it all hung in the air like a winter fog. One evening, just before Christmas, the single mother came home exhausted. She had worked a double shift. Her car was making strange noises that she couldn't afford to fix, and she wasn't sure how she would manage gifts for her two young children. As she climbed the steps to her porch, she noticed a cardboard box sitting by the door. Inside that box were groceries, fresh fruit, bread, a simple meal, and tucked behind them was an envelope. She opened it to find a gift card to the local grocery and a handwritten note that read, "You are not alone. We see you. We're with you." There was no signature, no explanation, just presence. Over the next week, she learned that the box had come from a group of neighbors who had quietly decided that no one on their street would face this season alone. They pooled what they had. Some gave a lot. Some gave a little. And they began leaving small signs of love and hope on porches throughout the neighborhood. A warm meal here, a gas card there, a bouquet of flowers for the couple facing illness, a toy for a child whose parents were struggling, Nothing grand, nothing flashy, just love that came near. When she told the story later, the mother said, "It felt like God showed up on my front porch. In a very real way, God had, not in a blaze of glory, not in a dramatic miracle, but in a simple, embodied compassion of ordinary people choosing to be present with one another." As we come to the close of this Advent journey, we return to the first sign given to a fearful king and now given again to us. Emmanuel, God with us. The promise that began in Isaiah's troubled world finds its fulfillment here in a manger, where love takes on flesh and chooses to dwell among us. This is the heart of the Advent love. God does not wait for us to be ready, to be steady, or strong. God comes near because love cannot remain distant. Love moves, love enters, love abides. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Our life is a gift from the one who loves us unconditionally." That simple truth is the thread that ties Isaiah's prophecy to Bethlehem's candle to our own lives today. The God who came close in Jesus continues to come close in every act of compassion, every moment of courage, every place where love breaks through fear. As we prepare to welcome Christ once more, may we open our hearts to the love that has always been moving towards us. Ancient, present, and still unfolding, may we go from this place ready to recognize Emmanuel in our world, ready to embody the love that has first been given to us, and ready to trust that God's promise is not only fulfilled in history, but alive in us today. Amen.